previously. But you're wrong.
What are you doing?
We needed those tiles to survive, Karen.
They were gonna find us.
They were going to. They were here. I'm sorry. Karen.
Scrabble-hating bitch. There's nothing worse than an uppity Scrabble player.
Oh, no.
Hey, Spider, bring me some pieces over here.
It was like 11, and there was no way I was going right to bed, so I decided to watch some Gordon Ramsay and just drink wine for 2 hours.
Nice.
And then go to bed.
Nice. I started this thing where I'm trying to go to bed at a more reasonable time.
Yeah.
Because I have no schedule, really, so I just was going to bed, like, real late. So I go to bed at the same time my fiance does, usually. And, like, I'll pour myself a drink, bring it upstairs, and I'll actually, like, read in bed or something. I'll put Pandora on, because I got the Roku hooked up to the TV.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll put the Roku on, some, like, cool jazz, sip my drink, read a mm-hmm. little bit. So, it's that nice.
Sounds good.
It's nice. It's a very relaxing end of the day. I'm just like, why didn't I do this before? I used to do this at one point in my life, and then I stopped, and I don't know why. And that was really dumb of me.
Yeah, I try. I don't get to do it too many nights, but I try to do that where I just kind of relax, have a drink. I put on some Cal Hater, Jader, whatever.
Jader, Hater.
Yeah. Just chill out.
Yeah. No, I put on that, and I just chill out and relax. Although I had to stop at one point, because I don't know if it was just, like, the mood I was in, but I feel like I had weird dreams the night before. So much so that in the middle of the night, I woke up with such a start that I hit my fiancé in the face.
Wow.
Like, I think also what happened was I rolled over and I was laying on my stomach, but I had my face shoved in my pillow. So I think it was also my body being like, you're going to suffocate, wake the fuck up. Because I remember just waking up with such a start, and I threw my hands down and, like, pushed myself up.
Yeah.
And when I threw my hands out to push myself up, that's when, like, my hand or my, like, part of my arm, like, hit her in the face.
Wow.
Not with enough force to, like, leave a mark or anything. But she was like, ow. And I was like, what? And she's like, you hit me in the face. I was like, I'm sorry, I don't know. I don't know what's happened. I don't know. I don't know what happened, but I just knew, like, something wasn't right. But I thought it was partially because of the book I was reading.
Yeah.
And it's a book. And my sister sent me this book. She read it and she was like, have you read this book? And I was like, no. And she goes, you have to read it. It's called Gone Girl.
Mm.
It's pretty good. And I guess it's already optioned to be a movie. And at one point, David Fincher, it was associated with directing it.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of makes sense because it's about a guy and his wife, and they move back to, like, Missouri, and then on their anniversary, she goes missing.
Okay.
And it goes back and forth and alternates chapters where it's him telling his first person account of, like, what's happening that day. And, like, then it goes into his first-person account of, like, the day after, and it says, like, it has his name at the top of each chapter and says, you know, day after, and then him talking about what's going on. Mm-hmm. And then the other chapters are, like, diary entries, or at least right now where I'm in, are diary entries from the wife talking about, like, the past of their relationship. And you get this really unsettling feeling that something's not right in their relationship. And, like, she's kind of psycho, and he seems really, like, what's the word I'm looking – like, almost sociopathic, like, just how he doesn't have a lot of emotion about certain things. And there's also, like, certain points where he's like, oh, and then I lied to the police. So there's this weird back and forth, and I'm not spoiling too much for anybody listening. I mean, obviously, like, that's what's written on the jacket. Is like there's uncertainty about whether he was involved in it or she, like, you know, what happened? Was it somebody else, or was he involved in it? And he's obviously, like, playing it up by lying and leaving things out.
Right.
And it's really good, but, like, there are certain parts where, like, you get this really unsettling feeling where you're just like, something's really weird here. And I'm thinking that that might have also led to me having weird dreams that night.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
But no, it's good. And it definitely seems like something David Fincher would direct. So.
Yeah. I mean, he's just, from what you're saying, it sounds like something that he'd be really good for.
Yeah. Creating that very unsettling feeling.
Yeah.
He even did that in The Social Network, and it wasn't that. Not that much was going on. It wasn't that
type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I had a roommate in college. The same one whose girlfriend threw a fork at him. I think I told that story before.
Yes. I believe I heard the fork
story. Yeah, like, he wasn't paying attention to her, and then she started throwing stuff at him, and one of the things she grabbed off of his desk was a fork and, like, threw it at him. And then they got into a fight, and she was crying, and I was like, I don't know what to do, so I'll just leave the room awkwardly. He had a loft bed above his desk.
Okay.
So him and his girlfriend were sleeping up there. And one day I wake up to her screaming and him going, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Because he was having a nightmare about the game Doom 3.
Oh my God.
So,
okay.
So he thought, did you ever play the game?
Yes. Not much, but yes, I did.
Do you remember those weird, like, demon baby things?
Yes.
He thought that she was one of those attacking him. So he was, like, pushing her away, and, like, I don't think he punched her, but he, like, pushed her away, and then she started to fall off the loft bed.
Oh, my God.
And he had to grab her. And I mean,
that's,
like...
that's good he didn't do anything worse, because those things are fucking freaky.
Yeah. I mean, he was probably trying to, but...
Yeah.
But, yeah, those things were fucking...
Wow.
Yeah. But he almost pushed her out of the loft bed.
My roommate... freshman year at college, he's actually now deceased, but he would, in his, when he was asleep, he would repeat very similar things. They weren't always the same, but he would, like, call sports games and stuff, and like, make, like, scoring play calls. So one of his favorites was, he'd be fast asleep and he'd go, Dan Marino throws a touchdown pass. And, like, you'd be like, what? And you'd just be over there snoring. Or he'd go, home run for Ken Griffey Jr. or something like that. Yeah. All the time. I mean, at least a couple times a week.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really weird.
Yeah, Dan Marino throws the touchdown pass was the number one, though.
Was he talking about, like, actual games, or...
I don't know if he just had Dan Marino on the brain, or what the deal was. I don't think he was thinking of... Well, I don't know. I mean, who knows what he was thinking? He was asleep. And he didn't even know he was doing it. But... And I mentioned it to him once, and he was like, that's weird, because my brother or someone, like cousin or something, also said to him, hey... You know, when you're asleep, you talk about Dan Marino. So I wasn't the only one that was hearing it. It happened a lot.
Wow.
But yeah, that was like his favorite topic to discuss while he was asleep, was Dan Marino.
I don't think I ever talk in my sleep unless you actually talk to me. Like, my brother, for a while, when he was still living in New Jersey before he went to college, like... figured out that I would talk in my sleep and I would answer, like trivia questions.
Yeah.
Because I was really into basketball at the time, so he would ask me, like...
Oh, Sports Illustrated for Kids?
Yeah. He would ask me, but it was the actual Sports Illustrated for Kids.
Oh, right.
Not the one in Rich's basement.
Yeah.
Because he would ask me, he would be like, who does, like, Reggie Miller play for? And I would answer him and be like, what's his jersey number? What position does he play? And I would answer in my sleep. And then he would look at like other ones and be like, all right, what number is so-and-so? And I'd be like, I can't think of a good example right now. Like, I can think of the obvious ones, but he would go more obscure. Like, the obvious ones would be, like, Michael Jordan and stuff like that. But he would go a little bit more obscure, and I would answer in my sleep.
Wow.
So he would just come in and occasionally entertain himself by asking me questions when I was asleep. And he was like, do you know you do this? And I was like, no, I have no idea. Like, I'm asleep.
Why would you know that?
Yeah. I don't know. I think he thought that maybe I was just like, I would wake up and answer. But no, I was still asleep. My fiance talks in her sleep, too, when I ask her questions and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She'll... Because we've gotten better about it now, but she's watching something and she falls asleep on the TV. And I'm like, are you asleep? And she'll be like, no. But she definitely looks asleep, but she'll be like, I'm listening to it. And I'll be like, no, you're not. And I started like stopping it. If we're watching something on like DVR or on demand or something like that, I'll just stop it. And if she doesn't react, then I'll just let it go.
Yeah, I do that too. I'll be watching something and I'll be in this weird in between sleep and awake mode, and I'll still be listening to it, but it's like I'm asleep. But I'm still kind of retaining what's going on the TV or in the movie or whatever. And like, if you turn it off or something, I'll notice, but I might not say anything and I'll just instantly go to bed. Like, I'll just instantly go to sleep.
I think, you know, I think there's a term for what you're talking about. I think it's called drunk. I think that's the,
well,
the
I mean, that's term. That's a safe assumption that I'm probably drunk at the time too. But
she'll have no memory of it, because I'd be like, because she'd be like, what happened at the end of this show? And then that's when I started figuring it out. So now I just look for telltale signs, and I'll just be like, you know, I'll just stop it and see if she reacts.
Gotcha.
So
Rachel,
the worst. no, but. Don't say that. We've already put down a deposit. We can't get our money back for the wedding. So.
Okay. Yeah, I won't try to talk you out of it more.
No, but I find that it's just like, oh, okay. She just falls asleep, but her subconscious will be like, no, I'm still watching that.
Yeah.
Her subconscious is going, hey, what are you doing? I'm watching that. That's important.
Stop fucking with me.
I want to see how this episode of Law and Order ends.
Yeah.
Greg, do you remember a art robbery in 1990 in Boston?
I know where you're going with this.
It just happened today.
Yeah, and you know what? I honestly don't know much about it.
You're what, 4 or 5?
Yeah, I've heard about it. And I really don't know any details, but I know it's back in the news.
Yes, and I think it's funny that it's back in the news, because of why it's back in the news. So, for those of those people that don't know, it was 23 years ago at this point. So you were like 4, right?
I was 3.
Three. Okay. So
three and a half.
What you're saying is you have no knowledge of this happening and you were not involved?
No. You really couldn't even say that I might have known the involved. I'm not complicit in this. Leave me alone.
All right. Just a second.
I know I sound like a guilty party.
you're an Italian guy. So
good.
I just gotta check.
Bunch of criminals.
Thieves stole 13 works of art, or art, as you would say, as you might say,
art.
That's a hard one to say because it's such a short word, from Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum. Do you even know where that is? Because I don't.
I don't. No, no idea.
I don't. I mean, it says it's in Boston, but I have no idea where Boston is. I'm trying to see if it runs down quickly. Who? Okay, the theft occurred at 1:20 a.m. on March 18th, 1990. So it's 23 years to the day that this is recorded and this news broke. A young night watchman let two men disguised as police officers into the museum after they rang the intercom at the service entrance and claimed they were responding to a disturbance. The thieves subdued the guard and his lone overnight colleague. The thieves subdued the guard and his lone overnight colleague. That just sounds weird.
That is...
Does that mean two guards?
It sounds like it.
Because it kind of sounds like it just like had a friend hanging out with him.
The Gardner Museum is in the... It's near the Fenway area.
Okay. The thieves subdued the guard and his lone overnight colleague and locked them in the basement bound in handcuffs and duct tape. The two men removed a total of 13 items in 81 minutes. Included were two large...
That's a long time.
80.
Well, I guess if you're handling art, you want to make sure you do it right.
I mean, that's less than 8 minutes apiece.
All right, Mr. Logical, continue.
Well, hang on. No, what is that? Was that like 6 minutes a thing?
No, so 13. So 81 divided by 13. Yeah, okay. You're right. You're right. That's not bad.
I mean, that's kind of impressive.
You wouldn't want me robbing an art museum because I'd just be throwing a bunch of shit in a truck. I'd just be tossing it in like it was cardboard.
You'd be throwing statues through priceless paintings and shit.
Like, oh, I stole the shit from the art museum. Like, oh, great. Thanks for all the garbage.
Things would break. You'd open up the back of the van and it would just be destroyed paintings, shreds of a painting, and busted statues.
Yeah, I'd be like, you know what? No one else can enjoy it now either.
No, you're going, no, it just adds character. It's good.
Yeah, no, it means it's old.
Yeah.
When it's all broken like that, it means it's old.
Yeah, it's more valuable this way.
Yeah. It's not like the guys on Pawn Stars and they bring shit in and they're like, yeah, well, it's really not in good condition. They're like, no, it adds character. And they're like, I don't give a shit. It's old. It's broken.
Yeah, so what you're saying is it doesn't work. It's character.
Yeah.
Two large Rembrandt oil paintings were cut from their frame. Single works by Vermeer, Manet, and... Govert, Flinnick, 5 Degas sketches, and three other items among them a small etching by Rembrandt. So the other two works were by guys that nobody really gave a shit about.
Yeah, sounds like it.
The robbery ranks as the single biggest museum theft in history in terms of the potential sales value of the missing works. The FBI puts the figures at $300 million, though others put it at $500 million. All right, so the reason that it's in the news today, though, is the FBI says they know the guys who did it.
I can't believe they're still working on it.
They know the identity of the thieves.
Okay.
But.
Yeah. Statutory. Okay, yeah. No. Statutory. Oh, boy. Where the fuck's my mind at?
Statutory, anything doesn't apply. You were thinking of Statute of Limitations.
Yeah.
Statute of Limitations has expired, so they can't even arrest the guys.
Mm.
But they believe they know that the paintings were moved through Connecticut and the Philadelphia area perhaps a decade ago by a criminal organization. They declined to reveal any more about the identity of the thieves, saying the investigation is continuing.
Oh, really? So, what the hell are they going to get them on? I mean, maybe if they... What if they still have them?
Or they can use those guys to track...
Where the pieces are.
Yeah, track their whereabouts and trying to figure out... Or if the guys are, like, in prison, then maybe they can try and commute sentences, like, if they're not in prison for other crimes or whatever, but...
Yeah.
I don't understand why they would come out and be like, we know who did it, but we won't tell you.
All right. I'm going to throw this out there.
All right.
Now, I understand art is worth a lot of money. Well, all right, not all art, but the art we're talking about is worth a lot of money. It's highly sought after. All this shit. But
who gives a shit?
I gotta say, No. Okay. It's not even now. To me, I don't really give a shit. But at the end of the day, if you're gonna go into a museum and steal paintings and shit by Rembrandt and Monet and all this shit,
Manet,
not Monet.
No, Manet.
Manet.
I couldn't even tell you the difference between them. I don't know
who Manet is. I know who Monet is, but anyway.
I know their names are different, but go on.
Okay, so Manet and Rembrandt and all that trash. You're going to steal this shit. What the hell are you going to do with it? What are you going to do? You're going to sell it? You can't sell that without it tipping someone off. And no one's going to buy it from you if they can't go ahead and display it without the FBI coming just taking it from them.
Well, okay, my assumption, and this is granted, this is largely based on movies, but my assumption is that you're going to steal it and you're going to sell it to private collectors who are going to, they're not going to display it publicly, but they're going to display it in like the safe room of their house or something like that. Just to know that they have it. Like, these are the guys that are worth billions of dollars.
But you're also never going to get what it's worth. First off, you're going to have to find those guys, which is going to take – you're going to find the right guy who's willing to buy a stolen piece of artwork for $1 million, say.
Well, I think they have to know the person ahead of time.
Okay. Maybe there's that. But I'm also thinking that there's no way you're ever going to get anything near worth what it actually is worth, because why is someone going to spend that much money on a stolen piece of artwork when they know that the market for it is so incredibly limited? So if you steal a piece of art that's worth $10 million, I'm going to say, yeah, I'll give you $300,000 for it. Well, who else is going to give you that much? No one. So what are you going to do? You're going to have to take it.
Well, no, but my assumption is that he's not – they're selling to people that have billions of dollars that actually want it. So it's potential that they could even get more than it's worth if they sell it in like an auction type scenario between these billionaires.
Yeah, I just don't know if that even exists though.
You know what though? Here's the thing. I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't exist. I mean, like,
well, I don't think what you're saying is like fantasy or anything, but go on.
The thing is, I don't think people would steal it if there was no means to get it, like to sell it and make money off of it. Like, they wouldn't go through all this if there was no way to sell it. So there has to be people somewhere that are willing to spend money for it, and a good bit of money. Like, granted, maybe they're not getting what it's worth. Like, maybe it's worth like $50 million, but they'll only get $25 million. That's fine though, because that's $25 million.
I mean, yeah, you're still getting a lot of money. I guess I don't know. I mean, maybe I just didn't really take into account the idea of the someone looking for this in their collection. I don't. You know, I guess I don't. You know why I don't get it? It's because I don't have money. I don't have the kind of money where I would buy something to not show it off.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. If I was going to buy like something, like, I don't really give a shit about art, but, well, I don't give a shit about most art, let's say. There's something that's cool. But like, say something for me would be like buying a pair of Wayne Gretzky signed gloves or something, you know, something sports related like that.
Yeah.
And if I buy the Wayne Gretzky signed gloves, you can be sure as hell that they're going in a glass case in a place in my home where you can see it.
Right.
Not in the basement. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, but then again, I don't have $1 billion. So, like, I don't have money to buy something that I'm not going to show off.
I think it's something, and I completely agree with you, though. I think it's something that it's like they just want to know to themselves, like, how rich they are. Like, yeah. It's like, I guess it's kind of similar. And this is probably a terrible comparison to make, but you know how, like, serial killers will keep trophies and shit like that? And they don't show it off, but it's for their own personal gratification to be like, this is what I'm capable of. Like,
yeah, like they get their own sick self-satisfaction out of it.
I think that people in this scenario, even if it's only in like one area, or even if they just keep it locked in a drawer somewhere or like hide it in a wall or something where nobody can get to it, they just have a certain amount of satisfaction that they have something and they have the ability to get a hold of something that nobody else is able to have. And they have that amount of power.
When I was in college, there was this kid on my floor, and I forget his last name. His name was Tony. So he had an Italian last name, believe it or not.
Well, okay, but even if you knew it, we probably shouldn't say it. But
that's true. That's true.
I don't know where the story is going, but I'm just saying we probably shouldn't say it.
So Tony was like the floor terror. And he would do things and not take responsibility for them. And he was definitely a loner. Like, he didn't really hang out with anyone. But, like, for instance, there was one time when there was 5 stalls in our bathroom. And he went in and he climbed under – he went in the stalls and locked 2 on each side. And climbed onto the stalls and got out. So they were all locked. He couldn't get in. And then he went in the middle stall and he took a big plate of pasta and stuffed it into the toilet. And then he put a bunch of toilet paper on it. And then he took a giant shit on top. And he did this on like Friday. So because he knew they weren't going to clean the bathrooms again till Monday. And he let it sit there so that no one had any choice but to go to the bathroom in the middle stall or find someplace else to go poop. And what? The thing was is that he never took credit for it. And my friend Joe, the Dan Marino throws a touchdown pass kid, there was one time when it was like towards the end of the year and we're out in the hall and we see Tony. And we actually thought he had, like, reformed himself. He actually hadn't done anything in a while. And so he walks up to us. And he's like, hey, guys, what's wrong with this plum? And we look down, and he's just got his testicles in his hands. It was really weird. And Joe's like, you are sick. You are sick, Tony. I know you're responsible for that shit thing with the pasta. And you'd see Tony just kind of like snickering him to himself and like walking in his room. And he didn't care. Like, he didn't want to announce that he did it. He got his own weird self-satisfaction about it. He was like a nonviolent serial killer. He was just a serial prankster. It was just disgusting.
And then later on, he would grow up to buy priceless pieces of art.
Yeah, yeah, but that's the kind of person that they don't need to actually show off. They just need to do something and feel good about it.
Now, why didn't anybody like take like a something long and like just unlock the bathroom stalls? I'm assuming it was those little slide locks.
Yeah.
Well, obviously you wouldn't have like a yardstick, but
I don't know.
Just like to take like a broom or something. Like there was always a broom around or something.
I don't know. There's a lot of weird shit went on in that door, man. No,
nobody thought of that.
I don't know. We're all too messed up or something.
Mm. Yeah, well.
Yeah.
That's
it was odd. It was definitely odd.
Yeah. Huh. Did they post like a notice about it or something?
Yeah. We all got charged money. I mean, at the end of the day, like, it was like $5 for every person, so no one actually gave a shit. But, yeah. I mean, it was stupid. I don't know. There's a lot of weird shit going on in that dorm. And it wasn't just Tony. I mean, he was weird, but I remember one night it was like 3 in the morning, and because we never went to bed before like 4 a.m. and I'm sitting in my room, and Joe comes back in the room, and he's like, all right, dude, just go around the corner and tell me what you see. And I was like, okay. So I go around the corner, and there was a man. I mean, it's about 3 a.m. He was, I don't know, I'd say he's in his 40s. He was wearing like a fedora, a suit, and he had a briefcase. And he, this is not a joke. And he was sitting on the floor. And he was in the middle of the hallway in the dorm. And he was eating a peanut, I think it was a peanut butter sandwich, and drinking milk. And
what?
And one of the kids whose room was right there, who I knew, he opens his door while I'm just staring at this guy. And he opens his door, and he's just like, dude, you gotta go. And he's like, no, don't worry, I won't make any noise. And so I walk back to the room, and I'm like, what the fuck's going on? And Joe's like, it's like fucking South Station out there. For those of you who don't know, South Station's a really big train station in Boston.
It's really weird.
I mean, that was one of the weirdest things I've ever experienced. I'll never forget that as long as I live.
That is fucking nuts.
I have no idea who this guy was. But yeah, that's a true story.
Are you sure it wasn't just like a weird kid dressed like that? It was definitely like a 40-year-old man?
I am 95% certain it was a legit like 40-year-old man.
That's fucked up.
I did not recognize this person at all. He did not look young enough to be a student. It was the middle of the night. I don't even know how he got in the building, because you had to like buzz into the building. But he was there, and he was eating a sandwich in our hallway, drinking a big thing of milk. Like, he had like a paper like carton thing of milk.
Like one of the quarts?
Yeah, like a quart.
Maybe he was like a time traveler or something, and he just
it was like an episode of the fucking Twilight Zone. It's like, where is he? Had like a fedora and like this gray suit on. He looked like he just stepped out of the 50s.
They were like, "Listen, Jack, we need to send you back to 1955. One little thing, you're gonna have to stop in the 2000s on the way for about 20 minutes. So, you know what? Pack a sandwich. Here's your quart of milk. It helps settle the stomach with time travel. And, you know, just hang out in the same spot. Don't move. Just sit yourself down. And, you know, once the time travel circuits have calmed down, then we'll get you back to 1955.
Yeah. So he stopped over in, like, 2004 for a few minutes.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
That is so weird.
Very weird.
That is seriously Twilight Zone freaky shit.
It was one of the most more interesting things that happened there.
Was he like, did he look like a creepy guy, or was he just like, did he seem like a nice guy?
No, he seemed fine. Like, I don't think he was like into anything. And he was on the guy side. Like, and he wasn't like a big dude or anything. He just, I don't know. He was just kind of there. And he's just stopping in and eating his sandwich. He seemed very, very content. He was polite.
Now, did he acknowledge you when you looked at him?
No. No, it was as if I didn't even exist.
He just kind of stared right through you?
I think he looked over at me and then just went back to his sandwich. He was really going to town. And then that's when the other kid peeked out the door and was just like, dude, you gotta go. He's like, yeah, it's all right, I'll be quiet. And I don't think I want to be like, dude, I don't think it's a matter of you being quiet. Like, we weren't worried about that. Like,
it's just fucking weird.
Yeah. But yeah, no, that's
Did anybody talk about it later?
Other than me and Joe, no. Like, no one ever, like, everyone pretended it never happened.
That's weird.
Like, me and Joe talked about it, but yeah. Then no one ever said anything again.
Not even Tony. He wasn't like, hey, fucked up guy. Maybe that was like Tony's dad or something.
I don't know. Tony was so messed up, though. He probably thought it was normal. He would go down into the area.
Wait. What if that was future Tony traveling back to fuck with you guys more?
Maybe it was. Could have been.
That's fucking nuts. All right, go on with Tony. Went downstairs and
Tony. All right, so when you go into where the dining hall that was closest to us was, there was like a couple like computer kiosks right in front of the dining hall.
Okay.
And so Tony would go, and I don't know if you know about this or anyone listening knows about this, lemonparty.org.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think you explained lemonparty.org to me.
This is why I know what Lemon Party is, with the old men sucking each other's dicks or whatever. And that's all it is just a picture of that.
I thought it was old men peeing on each other.
No, they're just having gay sex.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I was assuming lemon yellow, I don't know.
No, I don't know why it's lemon, but anyways. So Tony would go and he'd go on those computers and change the desktop backgrounds to be the picture from Lemon Party.
And oh, nice.
Yeah. And so he would just do this and then run away and you never see him again. And so you'd go down to get dinner and walk by the computers and it would just be pictures of old men sucking each other's dicks before you went to go eat.
Nice.
And you'd confront him about it, and like we'd walk by and be like, Tony, like we know right away it was Tony that did it. Never, ever would admit to it. And then he would go around also and post up, like he would write it out on little note cards and post it around lemonparty.org and like tape it around campus.
Wow.
He was a sick individual.
And you would see it just go, Tony.
Yeah, that's exactly. We are Tony.
And then there would be a voiceover that went, that's Tony.
Yeah, basically. Classic Tony.
Yeah, and he would have a little, he would appear in a little circle and be like, gee willikers, that's me.
Yeah, something like that.
Takes a big dump in the bathroom. That's me.
Ugh. What a sick man.
Ugh. the fedora guy is still creeping me out.
This is awesome.
That's nuts.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's fucking crazy. So they know who did it.
Oh yeah,
the thievery.
Yeah,
I don't know where to go after that. So I'll just go back to what we originally started with. They claim they know who did it. Let's see. Over the last 23 years, investigators have questioned the relatives and associates of about a dozen Boston area criminals. Those individuals were part of a loose confederation of New England underworld figures, some with mafia ties, and a few of whom have died. According to federal court records, FBI affidavits and interviews with lawyers familiar with grand jury proceedings, a linchpin is Robert Guarante, a mafia figure who died in 2004 at the age of 65. Officials have searched his former residences, looked into his past movements, and studied the activities of many of his associates. So he might have been part of it.
Huh.
Maybe
he was one of the guys paying for it.
Maybe. See, because I figure if you're an organized crime, like, they have to know, you got to know guys who would want shit like that. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, I'm sure some of your clients that you supply other things to, you would know if they want something like that.
Yeah. I mean, I figure it's all got to be a power thing. Because, I mean, like, Hitler stole all that art and he wasn't showing it off to people. He just wanted to know that he had it. And nobody else could see it because it was in his control.
Yeah, and now half of it is at the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's amazing when they, like, every so often they're like, oh, it's been determined that such and such a thing was actually stolen by the Nazis and then sold to the Museum of Fine Arts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like they haven't given half of it back yet, though.
No. No. I mean, so much was stolen that... I mean, they're probably going to still be finding stuff by the time we're, like, fucking 90 or something.
Oh, I'm sure.
Here's what I like, though. The FBI is establishing a website, cutting-edge shit with the FBI.
Yeah, right?
And I'm going to give it out here so that, you know, any people that might know can give leads to the FBI. Any of our three listeners.
Some tipsters out there.
FBI.gov/Gardner.
Oh.
As part of a publicity campaign to alert the public. Okay, now, they said that they thought that the paintings were moved through Connecticut and the Philadelphia area perhaps a decade ago. And we're assuming that it's got to be really rich people that are buying this shit, right?
Yeah.
All right. So part of the FBI's campaign includes billboards to be placed in Connecticut and Philadelphia with reproductions of the paintings in hopes of prompting anyone with information to step forward.
I mean, is this really what my tax money is going to?
Apparently so. Because they're assuming that, you know, powerful people are living in Connecticut and Philadelphia that would have such paintings. It's probably scattered throughout the world by now.
I mean, it's been a while. I mean, I feel like you're really stretching if you think all that stuff is still in the Northeast.
Yeah, I mean, it would be nearly impossible. But even if it was, I would operate under the assumption that the only people that would know about these paintings would be the people that were, like, if somebody had it, would be powerful people and the people that they trust absolutely. Right. So, like, them putting up billboards, you know, like, it's not like my dad's going to be driving through to Connecticut one day and be like, Billy Johnson down the street has a painting in his house that looks just like that. I should call the FBI. Like, who's going to turn in and be like, wait a minute.
Like, even if the regular person has even seen it, like that's not even going to happen. People like us are never even going to see this shit. Even if some billionaire down the street, which doesn't happen because we don't live near billionaires. I mean, we're never going to. It's so stupid. I don't even know where I was going with that, but it's just a waste of time.
I think I see what you're saying. The people that would see those paintings are not going to be the people that would be like, oh, let me tell on this person.
Yeah, it's not going to be a bunch of fucking rats.
Yeah. So it says the museum is still offering a $5 million reward for information that leads to the recovery of the artwork in good condition. So, I mean, if you do see it, you can get $5 million, but that's kind of like offering a Bond villain $5 million not to destroy the world. I mean, the guy's got a lot of money to begin with, so why bother?
Yeah, anyone who has them or knows about their whereabouts probably doesn't really need the money. You know, I mean, even if it was some mob guy, I mean, he's probably doing well enough that he doesn't want the FBI's money.
Yeah. I don't know. But their investigation is continuing, so.
Yeah. I mean, what is it? Keep it. I mean, basically the best outcome, right, would be for them to find the artwork, right? I mean, no one's going to go to jail at this point, are they? Is it a crime to have bought stolen artwork? Maybe it is.
If you know it was stolen, yes.
How can you prove that? And here's the other thing. Anyone who has wealthy enough to have bought the stolen artwork probably is going to have a lawyer good enough to get them off any sort of, oh, well, we think he knew it was stolen. I mean, you're going to have some ironclad proof.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the point would be to receive the – to get the artwork back. But yeah, I don't know if you could really be charged with the crime, because I know, like, receiving stolen property is a crime.
Right. Knowingly receiving stolen property.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like if the statute of limitations on the theft has gone up, then any aiding and abetting people would also be – the statute of limitations would be up on them too. So anybody that helped them commit the crime or you know, knew about it or anything like that, that would be fine. I would imagine, too, that after 23 years, the statute of limitations on receiving stolen property would also be up. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess right now the FBI is just trying to receive the – to get the stolen property back, which –
Yeah, I mean, literally, I can't imagine any other. I mean, to me, that seems like it would be the best outcome. Would be for them to just retrieve the stolen artwork. You know.
I mean, I guess what they're going for is to. Wait a minute. The FBI has a podcast?
Do they really?
I think they do.
No.
Wanted by the... Hang on, let me see if it's on... I want to see if it's on iTunes. Because I might listen to it. Wanted by the FBI about the... Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum Art Heist. Which is a terrible name, but...
Yeah. It's very long and drawn out.
Hang on. It has the information... The FBI, when it comes to the significant crimes, we're going to investigate it. We're going to be persistent and diligent in our efforts. In addition to the monetary value, it's a significant piece of our cultural heritage. It's impractical to put a price tag on something like that. It's much more important than money could ever express. Well, you know, I mean...
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know... I mean, first of all, I'm doubtful of their abilities to find it. But second, I don't know. I guess the point is just to return it. But from what I've seen in movies like The Thomas Crown Affair, I feel like that's both the original and the remake. I feel like that's really kind of what the insurance companies do at that point.
Yeah, yeah. The old Thomas Crown Affair.
Yeah.
I remember that. I remember the remake.
Well, yeah. I mean, the original was better, but the original didn't have to do with art thieves. The original was, I think, was just a bank robbery. And then the Faye Dunaway was the insurance agent for the bank. For the insurance company that insured the bank that was trying to get the money back. And then I think it was, what's her face in the remake?
With the short hair.
Rene Russo?
Maybe, hold on, let me check.
I think it was her. I think it was Rene Russo.
The Thomas Crown Affair. Rene Russo.
Ah, right.
And Mr. Pierce Brosnan. Do you remember the sex scene in that movie?
Yeah, I think so.
And they're, like, pouring alcohol on each other?
I think you're thinking of the movie Wild Things.
I don't think that is what I'm thinking of.
I don't remember them pouring alcohol on each other.
I remember them, like, pouring, like, vodka on each other. And I'm just like, that is just a terrible, terrible idea.
The one thing I do remember about that is I think Pierce Brosnan picked Rene Russo up and spanked her. And, like, threw her over her shoulder and then carried her away and spanked her. I could be thinking of a different movie, but...
Yeah, I think you might be right about that. That was just... It was a sexy movie.
It was just... It was weird. It was... I remember that because I was like, that's weird.
Oh, it was definitely weird. I still think it was a sexy movie, though.
Greg going around stealing art, trying to get laid by insurance women. He steals art, and then the insurance people show up. It's just some ugly, ugly woman.
And he's just like, still alive, right?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, if she showed up, then that'd be fine. But
well, I mean, maybe not.
Come on, you want just for the story?
Okay, all right. I would still have sex with Faye Dunaway just to be like, I had sex with Faye Dunaway. Now, her back in the day, like in the 70s and shit, 60s, 70s, she was smoking hot.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'd do it just for the story, but I don't think I'd really like, you know, I'd still probably be at half mast just because I don't know if I could get that hard about it.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing about somebody like Faye Dunaway. Because you're basically, you would be like, I have had sex with the same person that had sex with, like, Steve McQueen, I'm sure.
Yeah, you'd assume. Paul Newman.
Paul Newman, Warren Beatty.
Well, Warren Beatty fucked everyone.
Well, that's true. But in that caliber, you'd be able to be like, no, I had sex with the same as all of those other people.
That's true. I mean, that's some pretty good company.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a fantastic story. But if you stole art and then an ugly insurance person showed up, you'd be like, no, I don't know where they, I don't know anything. And then you would just burn them and try again and be like, come on, come on, sexy insurance lady. Nope.
I'm stealing artwork and some woman that looks like Judy Dench shows up.
You're going to the door going, no whammies, no whammies, no whammies. Ah, shit.
Shit. Well, can't win them all, Keith.
Yeah, but that the original Thomas Crown Affair, very good movie. But I'm a big Steve McQueen fan.
Yeah.
Also, a lot of it was filmed in and around Boston.
That's true.
Actually, I think some of it was filmed in South Station.
Yeah, good old South Station.
Yeah, bringing it all back together.
Yep.
I think some was filmed in Alston, too.
Full circle.
Yeah. I might go watch that movie now. That's a good movie. That's where the sexy chess playing scene from Austin Power comes in.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that. With a lot of vagina?
Yeah. Because that happens in Thomas Crown Affair, and it's very weird. It's a very weird scene. It's my least favorite part of the movie, just because it's so odd.
This is too sexy.
It's not even that it's that sexy. It's just really weird.
Yeah. I don't know how you can even try to make that sexy.
I mean, at the time, it probably was. But it was like, I don't know. As I recall, there was a lot of, because that movie did a lot of like the, like, I don't know what the technical term for it is. You know, like they would shoot in like smaller screens and they would have like bars of a scene go across and then scene going on at the same time to like show it. So I remember like that going on and they'd like be playing with the chess pieces and then like it would just be shots of their eyes and there would be psychedelic colors kind of and like. And then they would show the fire and then something else, and I was just like, what is going on? Like, I mean, I get it, but this is really weird.
You know what I want to see? A sexy shuffleboard scene.
I don't think you do, but... Because who would be... I was going to say who would be in that scene, but it would probably be Faye Dunaway now, and... I mean, not Steve McQueen, but...
Well, no. But, probably, well, no. I don't even mean like old. It doesn't even have to be old people. What if it's you know, young people playing shuffleboard, sexy shuffleboard?
It would totally lose interest for me. I would lose interest before they got to the sexy part. Because who would you put in a young, sexy shuffleboard scene?
How about young, sexy shuffleboard? But what about that Selena Gomez? She's in everything now.
Is she?
I don't know. I just, you know, she's one of those young teen idols that, like, every so often comes out with, like, sexy pics or something?
No,
you know, here's that you weren't supposed to see, like Vanessa Hudgens.
All right, let's back up. What is okay? So you're saying Selena Gomez, and then who's the guy?
See, I want to put Ryan Gosling in everything. No, you can put him in it.
Okay, you know what?
Maybe not Selena Gomez. I might have just said that because I had her on the brain.
If she was, because here's the thing, she would be too young for me to be. Who'd she used to date? Justin Bieber, right?
Yeah.
So if her and Justin Bieber are like playing shuffleboard, I'd be like, the singing is totally unbelievable. There is no way they would play shuffleboard.
Okay, all right.
But if it was Ryan Gosling and, we'll say, Mila Kunis.
Ah, okay. Yes, that's sexy shuffleboard.
If they're on a cruise ship, I think they're at the age, because they're a little bit older than us, I think.
Yeah, they're probably like 30.
Okay, that's what I say. I would say around 30 or like early 30s. I don't know for sure. Hang on, let me check real quick. Because they're probably our age and way more successful.
No. I think they're older than you think. I bet they're like 33.
I mean, Mila Kunis is 29.
Okay. I bet you Ryan Gosling's like 33, 34, though.
Yeah, I want to say he's like... He's 32. Okay.
Okay.
But they're at that age where, like, if they were on a cruise or something like that, and there was shuffleboard, I could see them being like, let's try shuffleboard, like, you know.
Yeah.
And then turn it into something sexy, you know what I mean? I could kind of see that, but, like, Selena Gomez, I think, was, like, 21.
All right.
I think you know what? I know that because I remember looking it up because they were like, Selena Gomez isn't 21. I thought she was.
No.
I'm thinking of something. I'm thinking of Taylor Swift and the other guy that she was supposedly dating. Because I was looking it up because Taylor Swift is 21. And then I looked up the other guy, whatever guy's in that British boy band.
Oh, the stupid one there?
Yeah, she's 21.
New Direction? One Direction?
I think it's One Direction. I think New Direction is something else from our generation.
Oh, okay.
But Taylor Swift, I think is... Or no, she's 23. And he's like a lot younger. He's like not old enough to drink. And I was like, why would you date somebody that's that much younger than you and totally not old enough to drink?
Especially, yeah, where are you gonna go?
I mean, if you're like 21, that's one thing, but she's 23, and I was just like, really? Like, you're gonna date a guy that's that much younger and can't drink? But I guess when you're major celebrities, fuck it, who cares?
Yeah, it's not like he can't get booze.
Yeah, like, who gives a shit? But
it's not like we couldn't get booze before we were 21.
Oh, yeah. Okay, if you're a celebrity, he's 19.
That's young.
That's a pretty big difference. But if they – okay, even if they were playing shuffleboard, I'd be like, this scene is totally unbelievable. But, you know, Ryan Gosling and Mila Kunis, I could kind of see that scene working.
I mean, be completely honest
– Plus, they're good actors. But
they are good actors. I pick shuffleboard because it's probably the most unsexy thing you could think of. I mean, next to maybe, like, curling.
I don't know. There's a lot of yelling in curling. Which could make it sexy.
Yeah, I like
when
to
they
think
when
of
they
things,
move those brooms.
Yeah, the broom. I like to take things that they try to sex up and then make them unsexy, like the whole
like dating. Like, you know,
yeah, no, you know, like those the Real Housewives show, and it's like the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, the Real Housewives of Miami. I like to rename them. When I see – and I go, oh, what are you watching there? The Real Housewives of Boise, Idaho? Or the Real Housewives of Milwaukee? Or something just – you pick like the most unsexy cities you can think of. The Real Housewives of Newark, New Jersey.
That would be pretty bad.
Just some really gross shit, you know? Or I always like to say instead of Miami Inc., Milwaukee Inc. I don't know. To me, Milwaukee is just the unsexiest city imaginable.
Isn't that where Laverne and Shirley are from?
Yes, they were. They worked in the brewery there.
They were pretty sexy when they were on Happy Days. When they got their own show, they tamed down. But yeah, when they were on Happy Days, they were like down for anything.
Yeah. Oh man, can you imagine how nuts they got?
They were, because they were the bad girls on Happy Days.
Yeah. Man. Good old Happy Days.
They were down for it all. All right. What if they found out that one of the Rembrandts was in Milwaukee? Would you be surprised? I would.
I would be. Unless it was owned by, like, the owner of a beer Milwaukee company.
Oh.
Well, oh, yeah. Like Mr. Miller or something.
Is that is Miller in Milwaukee? I don't know.
Miller Beer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Even though it's, I think it's owned by the Coors Company, but whatever.
Whatever. Who gives a shit? Anyway. All right.
This has been But You're Wrong. I'm Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Budello.
Check out our Facebook at facebook.com/ButYou'reWrong. Check out our Twitter at BYW Podcast. Check out Keith's books, Not My Problem, and Work in Progress on your Amazon Kindle. And check out our YouTube page. It's what, BYW Podcast?
Yep.
And look for our episodes every Wednesdays and Saturdays. Remember, everyone, no regrets. And you're going to steal art. You best do it sexy.